Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Andy, is there any way to move that sun out of your face? Give like
sorry, did you just ask me to move the sun?
I just meant like you have shade.
No, it's the sun.
Put that at the front of the show.
Hold on.
Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast.
I come to work with two hands every day and I'm trying to bless somebody.
We better be in Florida. It better be sunny. And there better be some sort of fruity drink involved.
With Matt Harmon.
It seems like you know ball the way you talk, so.
Thank you. Someone clip that.
You can get on a podcast. You can get online. You can argue with the clouds. You can argue with the Russian bots. Don't care.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, September 27th. Welcome to the podcast sponsored by Novartis Pharmaceuticals Corporation, the makers of Leqvio and Clizarin. The king of the waiver wire, or perhaps this week the duke of dumpster diving, Andy Behrens, is back to teach the rest of us how to find gold on the waiver wire this week. I actually think maybe I undersold you there, Andy, because there's actually some like banged up running backs, which is basically what the waiver wire is made for. But we'll get into all that later. Andy, my friend, my colleague, my compatriot, how you doing, buddy?
Did I get demoted from king to duke? Is that like part of the fallout in the UK and the royal family right now? Did that happen? I had no idea.
I don't know how these titles work. I'm still pretty unclear.
I don't know how they work either, to be perfectly honest. I know king is really good. Yeah. But if it's not like a chess title, I got nothing.
Duke of dumpster diving does sound pretty good. But I think King of the Wire is certainly a little more regal and certainly more deserving of your great status. But we are going to get into the waiver claims for this week. We're going to recap Sunday Night Football as well. But before, oh my God, talk about dumpster diving. But before we do all that, we do have a good bit of news to get through here, Andy, especially dealing with some guys that there's going to be some real trickle-down effects for fantasy players, starting with Mac Jones suffered a pretty severe high ankle sprain in week 3 against the Ravens. That's according to NFL Network's Tom Pelissero and many others. Look, you know, Scott and I have said on the recap show, I think every single week when we get to the Patriots game, it's like you could pretty much kind of write off most of this offense for fantasy. Having said that, though, you know, Devontae Parker's coming off a big game in kind of stepping up with Jacoby Myers out. Ramondre Stevenson looked like he had really started to put some gap, maybe not a gap between him and Damien Harris, but it put himself on the usability map. This Mac Jones injury really puts a cloud, because he's probably going to miss, I mean, maybe up to 4 weeks with this injury. Really kind of puts a dark cloud over this offense we already didn't feel very good about.
Yeah, his own reaction to the injury told you pretty much everything, right? Wasn't putting weight on it, looked like he was in absolute agony. So that was rough. This is mostly the reason why we're not actually going to be talking about any Patriots receivers on this podcast, even though Devontae's coming off a 10-target game. That's nice, but it was without Jacoby Myers. Jacoby Myers still probably the best bet here, but you know, you downgrade a quarterback situation that already wasn't perfect. They probably just lean on the running game as much as game flow allows them to. that running game is now, I mean, essentially it was just they split series, right? Like however it looks in terms of snaps and touches and all that, like Harris would get one series, Stevenson would get the next series, Harris would get the next series. So like you need to basically, I'm probably going to have them back to back or really close to it in ranks for a while.
Yeah, Packers up next, then Lions, Browns, and Bears for the Patriots over their next four games. I mean, there's some like matchups in there, right? I mean, we would love to play some of these guys as like sleepers in the receiver core, or even just these running backs straight up against the Lions. The Browns defense has been a little disappointing through the first 3 weeks as well. You know, the Bears are certainly a gettable matchup, and the Packers, I think, have been a little hit or miss. But I mean, Brian Hoyer, by the way, is the backup quarterback for what feels like the 20th time for the New England Patriots. Yeah. I mean, is Brian Hoyer just actually the quarterback's coach on this team? Probably, right? He probably has as much right to be the quarterback coach as like Joe Judge or whatever. But I don't know. Brian Hoyer came in last time we saw him, wasn't it?
He might be the most qualified play caller on this team, honestly.
Shoot, you're not wrong. Whatever, man. Like I said, we're not really that interested in the pass catchers at this point anyways. Jacoby Myers will get back and he'll probably still dominate the target share. I don't see Brian Hoyer flinging some of those contested balls down the field that Mac Jones was throwing to Devontae Parker. Like, it is a real shame for Mac Jones because I think he was coming off his best game of the season. Even if he made some boneheaded mistakes, he still like got out of the pocket on a good amount of these, like actually moved around a good bit, you know, shot those deep balls to Parker. So it really is a bummer for the New England Patriots offense. We will stay in the AFC East for our next one here. Jets head coach Robert Saleh said he's expecting Zach Wilson to return in week 4. Look, I don't know what you're already laughing. I don't know what Zach Wilson is going to do when he comes back, but it's enough already with Joe Flacco. I mean, Joe Flacco leads the NFL in pass attempts. Yeah. It's 2022. Joe Flacco's dropping back to pass like 50 plus times. We've seen about all we need to see from Flacco. I don't know if Zach Wilson's going to come in here and save Elijah Moore's fantasy season or keep the Garrett Wilson train going. But I know that I'm ready to figure that out as opposed to continuing to see this offense, which is basically like one read, get rid of the ball for Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I do think that we have to remember some of the things that Wilson just simply didn't do well last year. And he's, you know, really young, second season. Maybe he will do them well this year. That's still possible. But guy couldn't throw a screen pass to save his life last year. That was a struggle. I don't know that the targets that have been going to like Tyler Conklin are going to be there when Wilson is back. So, and that's a guy that people are asking about because tight end is such a total minefield and he's seeing 8, 9, 10 targets a week. But I don't know that you can trust that moving forward. So it can't get worse for Elijah Moore. That's a weird thing to say, because I think he's played well and I think he's got himself open, and he even had a fair target total in week 3. But, you know, from the perspective of somebody who's got him on a few rosters, like, it's not translating into any real fantasy noise to this point. But So there's no reason why that would get worse, right? Like, he's not gonna play worse. He's healthy right now, so maybe it gets better with Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson certainly has, like, we've talked about it before, he's got a bunch of traits that you want to see in your starting quarterback. He just hasn't put it together in any sort of meaningful way.
Yeah, Joe Flacco right now, he's got 5.8 yards per attempt. And again, like I said, he is throwing a lot of passes. Yeah. So this is just shows what it's been so far. Mitch Trubisky's like in this area. Oddly enough, Kyler Murray is in this area too, in terms of yards per attempt. And then Dak Prescott, who, you know, obviously barely didn't even make it through week 1. So we certainly need more juice out of the Jets offense. And I'll say this, for watching the Jets passing game, like charting Garrett Wilson, charting Elijah Moore, like being really invested in these guys and their future success, this is a passing game that really wants to attack intermediate and deep. And to the point, actually, that I think they kind of need to dial that back a little bit. You know, looks like an offense that was designed for Joe Flacco 15 years ago, or like the player that Zach Wilson should be, right? Like a guy who wants to get the ball down the field. I think they need to invite and incentivize more layups for the quarterback in this offense. Like, for certainly for Elijah Moore, I mean, that stands out when you watch Moore versus when you watch Garrett Wilson. Like, Garrett Wilson's getting those slot routes, you know, and he's really tough to cover in there. There's a reason they're putting him there. But, you know, Elijah Moore's getting like all, and Elijah Moore's a guy who played almost exclusively in the slot in college, but now he's like running vertical X receiver routes against press coverage on a snap by snap basis. So I don't know how this offense changes with Wilson, but it I'm certainly to the point where we need to see it. We need to figure out about Zach Wilson. We've figured out what the Flacco experience is, and like 5.8 yards per attempt is not going to cut it.
Wilson has got to be able to take like the cheap and easy stuff that they give you to the running backs, though, right? Like that was just such a weird problem for him last year, because it's not an issue that you think most quarterbacks are going to have. But like, who was it? Mike White was crushing it on like little screen passes to Michael Carter.
Yep.
And that results in a lot of just free yards for a quarterback. And Wilson could not or would not hit that stuff. So even, a little bit of growth there would go a long way.
Yeah, I think the fact that we've missed so many game reps for Zach Wilson is what's a shame here. Hopefully during his time away, he watched Mike White tape. I don't know. I mean, my God, what are we talking about here? What a thing to say. Yeah. Next news item we got. NFL Network's Tom Pelissero reports that, oh, God, Chargers left tackle Rashawn Slater suffered a ruptured biceps tendon in week 3 and is expected to be out for the season. Obviously, we're going to talk Chargers in great detail on Eckler's Edge tomorrow. But, Andy, I mean, I hope Austin's in a good mood tomorrow. We'll see. But this Chargers team is extremely banged up, starting with Slater, who is, one of the key pieces they couldn't lose. Andy, right now, Daniel Popper from The Athletic put this out this morning. So to recap for the Chargers, their quarterback, fractured rib cartilage, their all-pro center, knee injury, all-pro left tackle, likely to miss the season with a torn bicep. Their number one receiver has a strained hamstring. Their top pass rusher has a groin injury. Their top cornerback is not responding as expected from an ankle surgery. So Andy, things are not looking good with the Los Angeles Chargers right now.
Yeah, if you like, without regard to specific names, if you were to just put together a list of positions that basically no team in the NFL can just replace midseason, right? It looks something like left tackle, edge rusher, corner, quarterback, right? Like it's alpha receiver. Yeah. It's everybody who's hurt right now for the Chargers, and some of these are pretty significant injuries. So, the situation with Herbert, we shouldn't think of as a 1 week thing, right? Because I don't know if people have had that injury or something close to it, but it's super painful. And it's also one of those injuries where you don't know what exactly is going to make it hurt. Right. And then to be without one's left tackle, like a left tackle of this quality for the full season, it's just brutal. It wasn't that long ago that we were talking about this entire division as if it was just such an arms race, and they all ramped up in terms of talent. And now the Broncos are super disappointing, and the Chargers are just they're sort of smoldering ruins right now. Maybe that's a little bit extreme. Don't let Austin hear that. But this is, I don't,
the Raiders,
I don't
know how the Raiders are the only 0-3 team in the NFL. The Texans haven't won a game because they tied against the Colts, but they're the only 0-3 team in the NFL right now.
I don't know how this is recoverable for the Chargers. Like, these are just not positions that, you can just replace in the middle, certainly left tackle. This is not something that you can just patch together in the middle of a season.
Especially because their right tackle position was considered. It was like, okay, when you look at their offensive line, they have one glaring weak spot. Like, the right tackle position was a battle between Storm Norton and Trey Pipkins. And like, one of those guys is probably going to have to kick to left tackle at this point, right? Like, Storm Norton got on the field when Rashawn Slater went out of this game. So it's pretty rough. Obviously, like I said, we'll talk to Austin about this. The silver lining here from like a fantasy angle is that Keenan Allen sounds like he was relatively close-ish or close adjacent to playing in this game. I mean, well, nice of the Chargers to do one thing from a medical standpoint, right? Like, let's just not rush Keenan Allen back out there. Yeah. And Andy, I know you were super bullish on Keenan Allen coming into this year. And my God, like, my takeaway watching them yesterday and watching them even just honestly through the last, like, this entire season, they need him so badly.
Desperate, glaring need for Keenan Allen. Yeah, absolutely.
This offense is... it's disgusting. The design of the offense is awful. I was kind of complaining about this even last year, where they have Justin Herbert just throwing these short passes over and over again. And he's like Justin Herbert. By the way, Jalen Guyton, we also found out right before we started recording, one of their only guys with speed, is out for the rest of the season with a torn ACL. Not that Jalen Guyton's like a fantasy star or anything like that, but he, at least like when he's on the field, you got to respect the vertical part of his game. you know, I really like Mike Williams as a player, but he's not a separation guy. Josh Palmer, I don't think Josh Palmer has it. Like, he's not a guy that gets open either. Like, so Justin Herbert throwing a bunch of 6 and 7 yard pass, honestly, lucky if he has a 7 yard A dot pass to a bunch of dudes who don't get open. And by the way, they're playing Sony Michel, who they signed on Christmas Eve of the frickin' football season, a ton of snaps, like over Austin Eckler. So I don't know, man. I'll go over some of this with Austin tomorrow. Maybe I won't tell him that, like, I think his offensive design is disgusting. It's not his fault, but I do think that, man, I'm just getting a little nervous about the entire, like, Chargers coaching operation, what's going on there. And this season,
it certainly doesn't feel like the highest and best use of Justin Herbert's talents nor Austin Eckler's talents, right?
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. Like, I think the baseline of good coaching is, do you put your players in position to succeed? Do you put your players in a position that accentuates their best talents? Mm-hmm. Do I think the Chargers through the first 2 weeks have done that? Hell no. And I think you could argue that they didn't even do that last year when they, almost made the playoffs, and that's the best you could say about them. So not an ideal situation for the LA Chargers right now. I mean, I don't know what you're doing from a fantasy angle other than maybe I do think Keenan Allen, like if somebody's frustrated, like maybe try to trade for him, because I think they really will need him, especially because he's a quick separation guy that gets open on those short passes. And they're probably going to have to throw more short passes now that they're starting left tackles out for the season.
A thing that we've talked about before is that Keenan Allen was in for a pretty big week one too, right? Yes. Like that was definitely happening. He was 4 quick catches, plenty of yardage. That guy, I mean, over the last 5 years, an average Keenan Allen season is like 102 catches for 1,180 yards. And he's only come up short of 100 catches once, and that was like a 97 catch season, right? Like he is just metronomically consistent at a position that isn't really known for it and where you can't really expect it. So I guess it's good that they kept him out. It sure seemed like he was going to be good to go. I want to say that he practiced at least in some capacity every day last week. So he's got to be close, and they clearly need him. Not that he's going to fix everything about this offense, but you know, if we're talking about an offense that is going to throw a lot at 6 and 7 yard passes, this is bread and butter stuff for Keenan Allen, and he's one of the best to do it.
Justin Herbert right now ranks 8th in average time to throw at almost 2.8 seconds, and he ranks 27th in air yards per pass attempt, 6.6. That is a bad combo when you've got to hold the ball for a while and you're not able to do a lot deep. That's not good. So we'll see what happens with the Chargers again. Obviously, we will talk about it in greater detail tomorrow on Eckler's Edge. Another piece of bad news from an injury standpoint. Lions head coach Dan Campbell said today that DeAndre Swift could possibly benefit by taking the next 2 weeks off to help his shoulder heal, then return after Detroit's bye week to play on October 23rd against the Dallas Cowboys. Scott asked me last night, Andy, where I would have like DeAndre Swift in my rest of season rankings before this. Like if we redrafted today, where would I take DeAndre Swift? And despite like Jamal Williams looking good as the goal line back, having a great game in week 3, I said if injuries weren't a factor, I think he'd still be like a early second round pick. Obviously, injuries are a big factor here for DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, this is tough. Jamal Williams is not a guy that we're going to talk about in the pickups today. But he is available in like a third of Yahoo leagues, and he pretty clearly should be rostered across the board, right? Like that's without regard to the Swift situation, because they love running Jamal Williams like inside the 5, and he's good at it. He's clearly going to have a huge share of the backfield touches, so Jamal Williams probably going to be a thing all season. I feel like, you know, I don't even mean this as a victory lap. It's just, it was a conversation that I had during a couple of different drafts. I was pretty consistently taking Nick Chubb ahead of DeAndre Swift, which apparently was not chalk, because I would have
gone the complete opposite direction. So good of you to call this out.
I was getting some grief for it. And, you know, like DeAndre Swift's played really well. Like DeAndre Swift's had a bunch of really nice moments this season and is a very good player. That decision was always much more about like my personal ranking and opinion on Nick Chubb, who I think is just about as good as it gets with the ball in his hands. You know, it's a problem the way they get him the ball a lot of the time, but there are a few better doing it right now. So that little rankings tweak might serve me well over the course of the full season, but you know, anyway, that's just me kind of patting myself on the back for something ridiculous.
As you
the
should.
Swift has looked great. But yeah, like there was the issue that we've discussed earlier, or that we've discussed on prior pods about Swift not necessarily being that like 8-9 target a game guy, but it hasn't really mattered because he's been plenty explosive. This offense is really fun. And listen, if this is just a 2-week thing, that's fine. Most running backs are going to miss at least 2 games.
Yeah, and honestly, you could argue that it's good that Campbell's even just like, it might benefit him to take a couple, like take a couple of weeks, right? Because as much as Dan Campbell, you know, wants to be competing and like, you know, this team plays really hard for Dan Campbell and all that sort of stuff, I think the Lions, you know, deep down know they're not going to win the damn Super Bowl this year, right? Like, this is a team that's building something. They're building towards like maybe being a really, really good team in 23 and 24.
Yeah,
there's really no need to have DeAndre Swift like grind it out when he's already banged up, because he looked awesome in week one. He looked like a transformed player from a running perspective, like he had taken to that coaching from Deuce Staley in the offseason and had become like a new type of player. So might be honestly good news for Jamal Williams, though. Gets the Seahawks this coming week, the Patriots after that, which that could be like a close grind it out type of game with Brian Hoyer as the starting quarterback for the Patriots. And then maybe DeAndre Swift is back for the Cowboys game after their bye week. So yeah, I think actually Williams is potentially going to be ranked as like a top, what would you say, top 15-ish back?
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say, I think he's pretty clearly inside the top 20. I haven't done my rankings yet, but it's hard to imagine, even though, you know, the byes haven't kicked in yet, it's tough to imagine that he's not going to be a top 20 running back. Because these, as you say, these next couple games for Detroit, like the run is going to be in play in all likelihood.
All right, let's get our shovels out to shovel through some muck here for Sunday Night Football.
Should there not be a minimum quality standard that a game has to meet before we discuss it? Like, do we not have to curate things for ourselves in any way here? We just go ahead and talk through this 11-10 game? Okay.
We must, Andy. We must. Broncos, you know, 11.
I watch Iowa football on Saturdays, okay? So, like, I should not be expected to watch or comment on 11-10 professional games. I see enough of that.
Fair enough. But I'm going to make you do it anyways. because I think this game was really like a revealing moment for both teams, and like we should have a lot of clarity about where these teams are, which, by the way, this game is 11-10. It should have been a tie, okay? Like, this, not that we needed to see any more of it, not that we needed to see it go to overtime and like, let's decide that this is a tie. I think we all should have just agreed this should be a tie and we can move on from it. It was rough. It's one of those games that, coming out of it, I don't know how either team feels very good about itself. And I'll start with Denver before we go to the 49ers. Russell Wilson after the game talking about, like, in the post-game interview, oh, this is like championship football. Oh my God, dude. No, I don't think so. I don't feel good about the Broncos at all. And you talked about, you know, feeling pretty good about yourself for having like Nick Chubb over DeAndre Swift. I feel really good about being one of the only people in the fantasy industry being like, I'm not sure this is going to work, or at least get off to a good start with the Broncos. It's not been good. And Andy, my takeaway coming out of that game, Russell Wilson is not as good as he used to be. These pass catchers are not as good as everybody wanted you to believe. And I don't know if anybody felt like Nathaniel Hackett was going to bring anything to the table except possibly recruiting Aaron Rodgers there. But if he is going to bring something to the table, we sure have not seen it through the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, well, Hackett has already directly lost them one game, right? Like, you can put that fully on the coaches. Maybe we talked ourselves into this idea that somehow Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy were going to be comparable or roughly equivalent to DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, and perhaps they just aren't. Jeudy in particular had a bunch of opportunities to make, and I think Judy's fine. Like, the week before, he was really good, but, you know, had a bunch of opportunities to make plays in week three and didn't make any of them. That was a small concern. The line seemed terrible. And then we're at a point right now with Wilson, and it was probably the biggest questions, the biggest fantasy questions in the NFL coming into this season, whether Wilson would choose to be like a proactive runner at this stage of his career, because he wasn't last year. He's averaging 7 rushing yards a game now. And it's not like, It's not like he can't do it. It's not like he can't escape the pocket when necessary. It's not like he isn't mobile. But if he's not going to be proactive about it, he's pretty much Derek Carr. There's not a lot separating him, right? Except that maybe he doesn't have a receiver of Devontae Adams quality and he doesn't have Darren Waller, right? Like he's just in the same situation as a bunch of the other quarterbacks that we rank every week between like QB 13 and QB 20, right? Like if he's got to run for 40 or 45 yards a week to give himself that that fantasy floor that we'd grown accustomed to, or he's got to be an absolutely special passer, which perhaps at this stage he's not. I hate to think that, but it was a really ugly game. It was a horrendous game on both sides.
Yeah, it was rough. And just to stay on the Denver thing here, this is a little bit of like psycho analyzing Russell Wilson, which is not something I really look forward to doing. But it almost felt in a way like when he actually got off script a little, like made a guy miss in the pocket, like scrambled a little bit on the final drive. It's like, that's when the offense kind of started to do some stuff. I mean, it was, yep. It's really just like the only stuff they can really do is like throw to Cortland Sutton. And I Sutton's fine for fantasy. He's not going to have any sort of ceiling. I don't think he's going to have a decent floor because he's like the only reliable guy in the passing game right now. Like if anyone else were to emerge beyond him and Judy, I think Sutton would really start to sink. But that's a hypothetical world that we don't have to deal with. I think that Russ, he's talked about this publicly, like that he wants to be viewed as like a Drew Brees, Peyton Manning type of quarterback, and he's not. But like that, I think that's part, at least partially that, and also like we all get older, we all get less athletic as we age. That's part of it for Russ too. But I swear to God, that's part of like why he's not scrambling and that type of stuff, because he wants to win a certain way. And he's got a coach right now who, the only good thing, you like every time somebody talks about Aaron Rodgers and how much he liked Nathaniel Hackett, it's like, Rodgers just loved it. Like he could he wouldn't take offense to stuff and he loved like talking Jeopardy with him. It's like, who cares about that? Like Neato, by the way, Aaron Rodgers is not on this team. Like, show me one good thing about Nathaniel Hackett as a football coach. But it also bothers me too. But, and then we'll move on to the 49ers, that fantasy folks are still like upset about the Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams split. You got to like stop letting that bother you, because it just is what it is. And oh, by the way, it's like 10th on the list of problems in Denver right now. They've got a lot of other stuff to figure out before they start thinking about maybe we should change the touches for the running backs. This team right now in Denver has lost to Geno Smith, got outdueled by Geno Smith in week one, barely beat a Houston Texans Davis Mills operation, and lost to a team one point victory over a team in week three where the starting quarterback looked like he was actively trying to pee down his leg the entire game. And
they literally won the game because Jimmy Garoppolo stepped out of bounds in the end zone.
Yes.
Right? that is the winning margin of this game. That is why they won.
Let us transition to those San Francisco 49ers, because I mentioned that was my big takeaway in my recap article for the Denver Broncos. My big takeaway about the 49ers was, I don't know what would have happened with Trey Lance. Like, that's obviously an unknown. We have no idea how he would have played, whatever. We don't know how that story would have played out. But I don't want to hear a single whisper, a thought that like Jimmy Garoppolo is some type of savior for this team. Because let me tell you what, Andy, with Jimmy back there, you know what's still a part of the offense? Plays getting left on the field and mind-numbing, back-breaking mistakes. As you mentioned, he did the Dan Orlovsky. I mean, Orlovsky's on Twitter 5 seconds after that play talking about he's been redeemed. He's free. And shout out to Dan Orlovsky for that. But Jimmy Garoppolo, that's the type of company you're keeping now.
Yeah, that was brutal. Like if one of your problems with Trey Lance was that he missed some throws. I mean, how many throws did Jimmy miss last night? Right. And that goes back years. Like that wasn't like a one-off game for Jimmy Garoppolo, and he's been fine. But to think of him as somebody where, I don't know, nobody should have talked themselves into a place where they seriously thought that perhaps the Niners passing game would function better with Jimmy Garoppolo. He didn't have more than two touchdown passes in any game last year. Like he's just not a ceiling play at all. We can go back to the, Super Bowl, not to drag that into the memories of Niners fans, but that was a game that like Mahomes wins that game with either team. He would have taken either roster to that Super Bowl title, right? Like, I mean, Jimmy just leaves a lot of plays on the field. That was not an unusual game from him. That is with the exception of just sort of stepping out of the end zone when he wasn't even really forced to step out of the back of the end zone. Like the rest of that
but
game
that
was
pick,
just sort
that,
of a,
that pick to that pick he threw at the end of the game that I've seen Jimmy Garoppolo throw that pick 50 times.
That was just a typical Jimmy Garoppolo game. Like, that's what you're going to get a lot of. And it was against a somewhat frisky defense and all that. But that, you know, that game is well within the range of outcomes for Jimmy every time he steps on a field.
As we're recording this, Kyle Shanahan told reporters that left tackle Trent Williams, who we saw him get hurt last night, will be sidelined, quote, sometime due to a high ankle sprain. So your frenetic quarterback is going to now play without, you know, the best offensive lineman in pro football. So not great, not great. I think we know what
Jeff
the deal
Wilson
the
looked pretty good.
Are.
Jeff Wilson looked fine. Yeah. Like, Jeff Wilson looks like he can go ahead and be a thing for the next 6 weeks. He looked good. Nobody's threatening him right now. That's the one nice thing I'll say about the Niners.
That is the one nice thing you could say about the Niners. And other than that, I think like Debo is a super volatile receiver too, who you need him to like score rushing touchdowns, not what you want. Ayuk is like a volatile wide receiver three. And that's that on that. And I mean, Jimmy will have better games, but these games will always be in the range of outcomes for Jimmy, yeah. Which is why he's no like game manager or anything like that. Give me a break. Wow. What a disgusting game. I think we need to take a quick break, recoup before we get into the waivers here. 30 minutes into the podcast. We haven't even talked waivers yet. I'm off to a rock start here. Andy and I are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll do our waiver picks of the week.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, let's get into this, Andy. We've got some guys to talk about this week. Let's start with running backs. As you mentioned, there are a lot of guys who are, you know, available in what you have on the outline over 50%. You know, your Brian Robinsons, your Jamal Williams, your Alexander Madisons. Obviously, if they're on your wire, these are they should be on rosters.
Yeah, listen, Dalvin Cook may end up playing next week, but he suffered a shoulder injury. We've had this fire drill so many times. Like, Alexander Madison should be rostered by someone somewhere. He's a little bit over 50% rostered right now. It should be something like 80 or 85, because we just know he's a good player. He's not Dalvin Cook necessarily, but 90-95% of Dalvin Cook, yeah, he can do that.
Yeah, like I feel like Alexander Madison, Jamal Williams, these guys should be on like 100% of rosters, because anytime a starter goes down, like these guys are proven players. They can be like top 15 running backs, like we talked about with Jamal Williams at the top. Khalil Herbert, is he in that group of players too? David Montgomery is day to day, according to Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, listen, this is a position where we're going to talk about a bunch of names, but Khalil Herbert is the one name that I would get aggressive on in terms of waivers this week. And we don't exactly know what the timeline is going to be for David Montgomery. It looked like a pretty significant injury when it happened. I believe the team has clarified that it's an ankle issue. I don't know as we speak if it's a high ankle issue, if it's a regular old ankle issue or whatever it is, but like, he was ruled out very, very quickly, appeared to be in pretty significant pain when it happened. Montgomery has a history of, and it's earned him a lot of credibility with the team, of coming back very quickly from injuries that seem like they might keep him out for a while. There was that last year he had the groin injury that we thought was going to be a multi-week thing, and then it wasn't. Like, he's battled back from some stuff. Khalil Herbert's good. He's probably, you know, if I said that Alexander Madison was 90 or 95% of Dalvin Cook, Khalil Herbert might be like 101 or 102% of David Montgomery, right? Like, he's just pretty good.
At least as a rusher, I would say that, yes, David Montgomery probably brings a little bit more to the passing game than Khalil Herbert has, but you're right. Like, as a rusher, I saw Adam Levitan put this out today. Khalil Herbert's played at least 30 snaps in an NFL game 5 times. The rushing results, and again, it's key to note, this is only rushing. 18 carries, 75 yards, 19 carries, 97 yards, and a touchdown. 18 carries, 100 yards, 23 carries, 72 yards, 20 carries, 157 yards, 2 touchdowns. Like, so... yeah, he gets it done.
He had the big rushing performance against the Bucs defense last year. And granted, it was kind of a one-sided game. But, you know, nobody got to 100 yards against the Bucs last year. But Khalil Herbert had a day against them. So he's good. The first touchdown he scored against Houston was one of the week's best plays. Like, that was just a great, great run. So he's somebody who can give you exactly what you thought you were going to get from David Montgomery, if not a little bit more. He's got the Giants next week. He's got Minnesota the week after that. Those are not defenses that you necessarily need to stay away from, right? And they are defense. I mean, I was going to say the run should be in play, but it appears the Bears are just going to keep the run in play all season, right? And they're not going to let Justin Fields drop back more than 20 times a game. So it doesn't really matter the way the game is going. The Bears are going to try to run the ball 40 times. So Herbert's just in a wonderful situation. And I have to imagine that when Montgomery comes back, this should be something close to a 50-50 split. There's just not a lot separating these two players. So Herbert is someone where, like, if I have a desperate need, I'm 0-3 right now, I'm 1-2. I'm staring at some really icky names on my bench in terms of running back options. I may not go all in on Khalil Herbert, but it's going to be more than 50% of my acquisition budget on him, because I think he's really good, and I think he's going to have a role for the rest of the season. I think he's much better than any of the other names that I'm going to talk about here.
Justin Fields has dropped back 66 times this year, Andy. 66.
Like, Joe times. Flacco has probably dropped back like 160 times, right?
165. 100 more dropbacks for Joe Flacco. The other guy, only guys that are in the same galaxy as Justin Fields right now. Jimmy Garoppolo, we just mentioned, who started one game. And Cooper Rush, who, if he drops back 19 times tonight, is going to have the same amount of dropbacks as Justin Fields this year. And of course, obviously, we know Cooper Rush hasn't played. He played one full game. Good God. Yeah, so the Bears' boomer offense will keep Khalil Herbert and the rushing game on the field if he is the starter. Andy, the Bears are 2-1, bro. And like, do you even feel good about that?
There is a certain sort of Bears fan. It's not every Bears fan. It's not even a majority of Bears fans. But there is a certain sort of Bears fan within my circle of friends who loves winning this way. Winning this way. You know, defense making timely plays, even though it's not a great defense, running the ball no matter the game situation. Like, I don't know, going run heavy against Green Bay when you were down and everything was hopeless was really something. But that is clearly going to be in place all year. They're just simply not going to let Justin Fields. And listen, Justin Fields did not look good in week 3.
No.
I can almost always find something in a Justin Fields game where I was like, wow, that was a special play. He can do some things. But week 3 was terrible. He was awful. The final pick in particular was just dreadful. I could understand why the Bears would get in 3rd and long and still just run the ball hopelessly instead of giving it to Fields to try to make a play. Like, it's frustrating in the moment, but I get why you do it when you're trying to win a game, because he felt like a turnover waiting to happen in week 3. It was really ugly. So no, I don't personally feel good about it, but there are enough people I know that are feeling good about it that I don't want to like completely dash their hopes.
And I bet one of them is Matt Eberflus, who like, probably could not care less about like developing Justin Fields or anything. Oh, Izzy's with you. Izzy's hyped about the Bears this year, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, she is.
All right.
Izzy's way of saying, hey, Josh Allen is 2-1, Patrick Mahomes is 2-1, and Justin Fields is 2-1. So keep my quarterback's name out of your mouth.
Yeah, well, Izzy, my bad. I'll be a little more respectful going forward about the 2-1 above 500 Justin Fields. You're welcome. You're welcome, Izzy. All right, let's move on to the rest of these dusty running backs here. And we could just be super quick about this. Samaje Perine, Tyler Allgeier, Justice Hill, J.D. McKissic, Rex Burkhead. Ain't nothing like and Craig Reynolds, who was another backup running back for the Detroit Lions. Ain't no league winners group, right, Andy?
My dog is barking about Craig Reynolds too. Craig Reynolds had like a random one-off 100-yard game last season. Remember, I think it was against Arizona late in the year when he fell into some workload. It's not going to be entirely the Jamal Williams show if DeAndre Swift misses any time. So Craig Reynolds gets a little bit interesting in very deep leagues. The one guy that I'll say from this list, and again, it was Perine, Algier, Hill, McKissick, Burkhead, Reynolds. Justice Hill had a great run against New England. Split time basically evenly with J.K. Dobbins. I think outsnapped him maybe 29-26.
Yeah.
Outgained him. Obviously, that's going to be Dobbins' role moving forward. But like, Dobbins wasn't an every snap back when he had like the breakout rookie season, right? When he was rushing for 6 yards a carry, when he was, you know, when he was a thing, particularly at the end of his rookie season, he was still splitting time. So I would expect this to remain a job share. So I think Justice Hill could get interesting. They didn't mess around with Kenyon Drake in week three because he'd been so dreadful. So I think Justice Hill is pretty interesting here. Perine is the other situation that we should probably look at, because obviously Joe Mixon isn't going anywhere. He wasn't great in week three and then picked up a little bit of an ankle thing. They've got a quick turnaround and they play on Thursday night. It sounds like Joe Mixon is going to be fine, going to be good to go. But maybe Perine, as sort of that, you know, north-south, no-frills sort of runner with some receiving skills, is somebody who can be relevant and pick up a handful of snaps moving forward. Because it has not looked great for Joe Mixon this year, even when he's at full strength.
He said no receiving skills. I don't know if you know this, but he is like their third down back. Samaje Perine, so bizarre. I'll never get over that. All right, Andy, let's move on to wide receivers. You've actually got some interesting players here. A few rookies, a few veterans. You got Romeo Doubs, Isaiah McKenzie, George Pickens, Zay Jones, Michael Gallup, and Raiders number one wide receiver that they spent a whole bunch of draft capital on, Mac Hollins, on this list.
I feel like the Romeo Doubs situation in particular was just the sort of breakout game from which, you know, it's just going to rearrange the receiving hierarchy for Green Bay, right? Like, he was truly impressive. Caught every target. It was the first game in which he's just basically been on the field the whole game, right? Like, he'd been 50-some percent of the snaps week one and then 30-some percent of the snaps. But he was just out there full time in week three. And he was great. He had some really nice, just really nice. His hands are fantastic. Just some moments where not everybody makes that play. And it was really good to see. And they desperately needed it, right? Like, Watkins, they desperately needed it under any circumstances, but no Sammy Watkins, no Christian Watson, absolutely needed a contribution from Romeo Doubs. And he was their best receiving option. So I feel like that's one where he's hanging out there in like three quarters of Yahoo leagues. And I know this is one of those names where like the hardcore fantasy managers are like, he was gone in my league in, you know, July. He was picked up off
him.
I totally get it. He was really buzzy. And for those of you who are paying attention, you know, like, bless you for paying attention from like July through right now. But not everybody does that. And he is available in a ton of leagues and he should be rostered almost everywhere. I mean, he's just coming off a great game. And he's tied to Aaron frickin' Rodgers. So like, he for me is the pretty clear number one. It was great to see Isaiah McKenzie get the sort of workload that we thought coming into the season he might stumble into a handful of times. Nine targets, that was great. You know, it's Buffalo, so anybody can find the end zone any week. McKenzie did have a little bit of trouble getting off the field in a situation that could have killed the clock. I don't know that, I'm not saying I would have gotten off the field, right? Like, it was tough. He was clearly trying to, but that was the,
hey man,
that was the one.
That ref even was dogging it to spike or to, yes, to get that ball spotted. And yeah, I had a few people that were like in my mentions after saying like every Bills player is cramping, like, this is football, you know, my youth football kids that I coach in Texas could play. It's like, okay, well, clearly you've never been to South Florida in September, but it was a rough sitch. I'm not going to blame Isaiah McKenzie too much for that.
Exactly. So good game for him. Great workload to see. Obviously, Josh Allen throwing it a million times certainly helped. But it was the sort of game that we thought Isaiah McKenzie could, you know, we think he can string together a few of those. So that was a good sign. I don't know what to tell you on George Pickens, because Mitch is his quarterback, and they probably need to get to Kenny Pickett as quickly as they can, although they've got some really difficult games on the horizon. They've got Buffalo in a couple weeks, and like, that's not the best spot to debut Kenny Pickett. So I don't know exactly when we finally see Kenny. I'll feel a little bit better about George Pickens when we do. Pickens made the catch of the year in week three, and I feel like that catch might hold up for the full season. He's really good. Like, he's a side speed player, good hands, crazy highlight potential. He is clearly not somebody that you could start week in and week out. He's just a really exciting talent. And I feel bad not mentioning him, but I also can't tell you that you absolutely have to start him. He's a problem. I get it, but he's on the level of the sort of talents that just have to get rostered in fantasy leagues. Zay Jones is a fun one because the Jaguars are fun. Like, the Jaguars are officially a pretty fun team. They're averaging 28 points per game. They're averaging like 375 total yards per week. This is the quarterback that we thought Trevor Lawrence could be. They're just a good team. We all had jokes when they made all those receiver signings in the offseason. And yeah, they were shopping like in the wrong bin for the prices that they were paying. But this team has been really good. And the receiving core is good. And Zay Jones, while not like an alpha receiver necessarily, is a total pro. And he's had some really nice moments at multiple stops. And he's coming off a big game in which he caught basically all of his targets. So Zay Jones is probably somebody that when we get into the bye weeks, we're going to be ranking, you know, in the 30s, I would say. Like, he's going to be a playable guy. Gallup is somebody who probably not making it back for week three, but he's close. And when Michael Gallup does return, he returns as basically the unrivaled number two on that team. That's going to be a pretty good situation when Dak is back. And then I don't even know what to tell you on Mac Hollins. This is like a sixth year breakout. Is that what's happening right now? He's probably the fourth receiving option on the team. He's also seen 18 targets over the last 2 weeks, and that sort of thing is really hard to ignore. He's huge, right? 6'4". We're probably not going to see another game like week three. In fact, that might be a bit much, but like, I don't know how many 80 yard games does Mac Hollins have left? Maybe none. But at that sort of workload, if you're in a deep enough league, I guess I would take a shot for like a dollar.
My buddy James Coe put this out this morning. Week three in PPR, Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, Aaron Jones, Joe Mixon, Darren Waller, DJ Moore. That's a starting lineup combined for 29.9 points. Mac Hollins, 29.96 points. What a treat this game is. What a treat this game is. Seriously. So a lot of good options there. I think Zay Jones, man. I mean, Josh Norris, for some reason, from Underdog Fantasy, has become like labeled himself as a Zay Jones guy. I didn't know that anybody wanted to do that. But he's like, I see him taking victory laps on Zay Jones every 5 seconds on Twitter. I love you, Josh, but strange hill there. But hey, look, to Josh's credit, he's been right. Zay Jones has been very productive and is the clear-cut number two receiver on an offense that, like you said, they're fun. I just think the Jaguars are verifiably good right now at this point. So I'm with you that Zay Jones does make for like a bye-week replacement guy every single week.
I also like that every little success the Jaguars have this season is just another reason to condemn Urban Meyer and that show of a coaching staff and of a team environment last year.
an absolute nightmare, Urban Meyer. All right, let's do quarterbacks and tight ends. Quarterbacks, like, it seems like you're gonna have the same streamers on the radar pretty much every single week.
Yeah, I don't have any great answers for you at quarterback, right? Like, none of the fun rookies or potentially fun rookies have taken over jobs just yet. Like, it's, I don't know. Like, I literally have Marcus Mariota at the top of this list, and Marcus Mariota is a turnover machine right now who is almost certainly going to have to give up that job to Desmond Ridder at some point. But he also runs a little bit, right? Like, we've got a couple of rushing touchdowns on the season. We have a 72-yard rushing game, and he's the guy who right now gets to throw to Drake London and Kyle Pitts, and that's a pretty good gig. He's facing a Cleveland defense that seems, based on the brand names on the defense, seems like it ought to be better than it's been. Hadn't been great, so maybe he's got an opportunity in week four to make some fantasy noise. Again, there's a little bit of rushing upside there. Jared Goff remains on this list because Detroit has been plenty fun. He gets to throw to Amon-Ra St. Brown, which is a great gig. He's got Seattle coming up. That's not a daunting matchup.
And then I
threw the other guy involved in that game on here because Geno Smith gets to throw. Maybe they're letting him cook. Maybe they're not. I don't know. He gets to throw to DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. That also a good gig. I don't have any other easy answers for you here. Like, long term, you can stash the rookies and hope that we get something from them later in the season. But you know, these are just all streaming options right now. We haven't even, other than Dak, we haven't necessarily lost anybody yet that that fantasy managers are desperate to replace, right? Like if you were leaning on Mac Jones, your season was probably already cooked.
Yeah, no kidding. Tight end, you've got David Njoku at the top, who is only 51% rostered. That, I mean, hey, I think I dropped David Njoku this week or last week, so I'll be one of those dum-dums who got in while the roster, while the snap rate and routes run rate was pretty good. I got out. Tough scene for me. I've got Gerald Everett now. Oh, that great Chargers offense. Jelani Woods, you've also got on here. Robert Tonyan, Tyler Conklin, Evan Ingram. Woods, I think, is a little chasey, Andy, just because he still totally ran the third most routes.
He's barely playing. This yeah, feels like he's just like young OJ Howard, right? Like OJ Howard had the two touchdown game, and we haven't really heard from him since. Woods, a couple of touchdowns, only played 16 snaps. I think he's only played like 32 snaps maybe on the season, right? Like he's barely seeing the field. But he is a giant, and if he ends up with any sort of red zone role, any sort of goal to go role, that would be fun. He's at least, I can talk myself into the idea that Jelani Woods might actually start playing, you know, 30 snaps a game, 35 snaps a game. He could get really interesting there. But this team just kind of spins the wheel in terms of second receiving options.
I mean, I saw both of his touchdowns when I was sitting with Trevor in the office right after taping FFL. Trevor's our social media lead for the 99.9% of you listening to this that don't know that. And, you know, every time Jelani Woods getting in the end zone, you know, big guy, hair sticking out of the back of his helmet, I'm like, oh, VCU spot. It's not Mo'Ali Cox. It's Jelani Woods, who did go to the University of Virginia.
University Shout out of Charlottesville. Virginia.
There we go. The other guy that is really interesting on this list is Evan Ingram, who, by the way, another weird
I'm
thing
still
about Evan,
so sore that Evan Ingram lost that touchdown. I'm still not convinced that it needed to be taken away. Like perhaps replay review has gone too far. I didn't see it. I needed it. I'm the only person who's like depending on Evan Ingram anywhere, but that guy's had a really nice season.
Sicko.
Somewhat quietly. He came into the week having caught like 11 of 12 targets, a little bit of chemistry between him and Lawrence. And he's just like one of those. He's one of those ways to get a share of a pretty fun Jaguars offense.
By the way, it's very tilting because, you know, you had him as one of your fantasy flyers on FFL this past week. So I get why you're still pissed about that.
Somebody
touchdown.
Gave me shit on Twitter about it. I'm like, oh, man, first of all, it's their flyers. I'm not telling
they're
you
the flyer
like,
for a reason.
We didn't put them in like my fantasy locks. That wasn't the name of the segment. They were flyers. And second, he scored a touchdown.
And isn't that crazy? Like he's you're this close to be able to get a touchdown out of those fantasy flyers. I had Mo'Ali Cox as one of my flyers in that segment one of the weeks I did it. So don't feel bad about yourself. and I guarantee you that knucklehead did not see that play, which like it certainly is your fault, Andy, that he didn't get that like.
Right.
Pinky toe inbounds or whatever. But I just brought that up because when they were like going through the graphics and stuff before the show, we're sitting there Sunday morning. I was like, is that the wrong picture of Evan Ingram? He looks like a totally different human being. Cause he's like shaved his head and cut his, and shaved his beard off and shaved his head. I was very tripped out about that. Cause I was like, I had to Google like that. Oh no, he has changed his look now and he's catching the ball now. So maybe that long hair that he had before was too distracting and that's why he couldn't catch the ball in New York.
Yeah. You can imagine how and why Evan Ingram might want to reinvent himself.
Hey man. Yeah. It's like when you get dumped by somebody and you like dye your hair or, you know, whatever, like that's what Evan Ingram has basically done. I hope I'm never down bad enough to ever want to like shave all my hair and beard off, but whatever, Evan, it's working, man. It's working. It's working. And he's got like $9 billion in the bank to for this season to show to show for it. Let's move into kind of our last segments here. I don't think there's anybody really to advise like getting in early other than like we have Rashad White and Zamir White in this segment pretty much every week, Andy. So folks should be stashing these like upside backs, although it's going to get tougher with like the bye weeks coming up and stuff like that.
It will get more difficult. So this is mostly like, you know, if you're in a league with four bench spots, really competitive, you're not going to be able to stash people for like, you know, 6 weeks down the road, anything like that. That's not really reasonable. But I do think that whether it's Tyler Algier, Rashad White, Zamir White, like the answer is going to be one of these young running backs who's just an injury away from being ranked top 20, top 24 in any given week. Like Rashad White in particular is in a really great situation and seems like a really good fit for Tampa. The other guy that I wanted to mention, and I didn't get to him last week, is and this may not happen at all, right? But that's we're talking about stashes. Malik Willis would get really interesting in a hurry if either Tennessee decides that they need to just flip the switch and launch a Malik Willis era, or if anything were to happen to Tannehill. Malik Willis was like all of the reasons that we thought briefly he might be a first round pick were evident in the preseason, right? He rushed for over 150 yards in the preseason on barely any rush attempts, threw for over 300 yards. Like, he was really fun to watch in the preseason. Granted, it was preseason football and it wasn't, you know, there was a quality of competition issue and all that. But he was really, really fun to watch. He was not fun to watch when he actually made his way onto a real NFL field, regardless of like the timing and circumstances of that game in week two. That wasn't particularly impressive, but he's exactly the kind of dual threat quarterback who would make a ton of fantasy noise, even while not necessarily playing well. So if you're in a super flex of any sort, I feel like he should be on a roster. If you're in a league with like 6 bench spots, 8 bench spots, I think he's a pretty worthy stash.
I'll throw out Alec Pierce here for getting in early, because it's not as if he necessarily had like a big game or anything, but he did get 5 targets. He ran 20 routes in the game, which is well south of like Michael Pittman, and Paris Campbell is the number 2. By the way, Paris Campbell, he struggled to stay healthy. He never actually does anything when he's healthy either. So he's like, I don't know, the weirdest player in the NFL, where there's still like 5 Paris Campbell truthers out there, and then like it's like, oh, he just needs to stay healthy, and then he stays healthy and he gets 2 targets. Like,
I used to be one of those truthers, but he's kind of been exposed this year now that he's actually been healthy. It used to be that you would be like, oh, but in that one healthy half of football he had 6 targets and he caught 4 of them. Just imagine if he did that for a full season. Well, now you can't do that anymore because he's been healthy and nothing's happening.
Yeah, nothing going on there. I think we need to see more of Alec Pierce going forward, because he brings a dimension to this team that they really, really lack right now. So yeah, give me more Alec Pierce in my life, man. Let's move on to our drops here, Andy, and our hold on loosely candidates. Give me your drop this week.
Yeah, my drop this week is the sort of cathartic drop that you can make before you even make an ad, right? There doesn't have to be a corresponding ad here. You can just drop Carson Wentz and you'll feel better for it. Your roster will look better. We all felt kind of dirty picking him up anyway, right? Because you know what you're getting with Carson Wentz. It's not like he's been a fundamentally changed quarterback this year. He was still putting the ball at risk a ton. He was still making some ridiculous throws. You're just getting, you know, he is surrounded by an incredible receiving core. These guys are really fun. Like Curtis Samuel, Jahan Dotson, McLaurin all together. Like, that's a really fun group. Carson Wentz is still Carson Wentz. He's coming off a total clunker of a performance, and you just don't need to hold on to guys like this. Like, you can just remove him from the streaming equation for a couple weeks if you like. I do reserve the right to talk about him as a streaming option later in the season, but there's absolutely no reason to hold him onto your roster. He's rostered in like 70% of Yahoo leagues right now.
Yeah, I mean, he has the Cowboys next week. Obviously, we're taping this before the Monday Night Football game, but the Cowboys defense, like Micah Parsons, watch damn Eagles just get after his ass in that game. Like, Micah Parsons and the boys in Dallas are going to get after Carson Wentz in that game, their next matchup. So, like, if you're looking for a quarterback streamer, yeah, I'd rather go with, like, even if he's boring as hell, like Jared Goff, even if Geno Smith has no ceiling, I'd rather go with Geno Smith, just because you don't want to have one of those clunkers in your starting lineup this coming week.
Yep.
My drops here, I'll go on the other side of George Pickens and say he's a drop. I think Chase Claypool is a guy you could drop if you're really like hurting. Like, when bye weeks start hitting, I'd rather start a guy like Zay Jones than Chase Claypool, because as long as Mitch is the quarterback, like, there's nothing good happening here other than Deontay Johnson is going to get double digit targets, and you're lucky if he catches 8 for 84 like he did last week, which was just like, woohoo, I got 8 for 84 out of Deontay Johnson. I feel like that was a huge win. So yeah, I just think like these guys, and you mentioned too, the schedule's not great. Like, maybe when Kenny Pickett's back in there, but I'm not trying to keep these guys around for the juicy upside of a rookie quarterback, right? Like, we've seen historically the rookie quarterbacks don't even necessarily elevate that many guys around them. We're hoping that Kenny Pickett gets in there and saves like Najee Harris and Deontay Johnson. Yes. I don't know that it's trickling that far down the pecking order.
I like Claypool's usage in that opening week. That was so fun, right? Like I really thought we might be onto something there, because I think it was six. He's had six targets in every game, I believe, and then a bunch of carries in week one, and they weren't just all sweeps or anything. Like they were lining him up in the backfield. Like that was pretty cool. Like I could have gotten into that. And then there's been far less of the rush attempts. Those haven't necessarily been there. He's obviously a huge athletic talent, right? Like he's just in rare company in terms of like size and speed and vertical jump and all that. But it just, you know, he was a bit of a punchline of a player last year. I think he's been better this year, and he seems like he's, you know, we also saw him week one, like he was helping people line up correctly, right? Like he was doing things that I wasn't even thinking. I don't put that in Chase Claypool's bag of tricks exactly, but he seems like maybe he's taking it a little bit more seriously. It's just a really, really unfortunate offense. The line, the quarterback, like it's just a bit of a mess right now. So I don't think it's possible for anyone to really distinguish themselves there.
I got two more drops for you too. Nyheim Hines and Jarvis Landry. I don't think you'll fight me on Jarvis Landry. Chris Olave is going to be the best receiver on the Saints this year. I'm ready to say that too. I'd rather have Olave than Michael Thomas right now. Jarvis Landry's massive week one feels like a distant memory from a past life already at this point, based on the way Olave's played the last 2 weeks. Nyheim Hines, man, I get it. Like, you know, he's so weird. He's the weirdest player ever, because it feels like the coaching staff talks him up every offseason, like as if they're going to get him involved in this cutesy little role. And then like he either has 20 points or 2 points from just a raw fantasy total standpoint. And you never know when those 20 point games come in. It's not as if you can be like, okay, this is going to be like they're going to be in catch-up mode. They'll be trailing against, you know, the Chiefs or whatever. Oh, Michael Pittman's out.
Yeah.
Like
you can't
call
really
it. Get him.
You can't call it.
So like draft him in best ball, because I guess those games will, like he's got 20 points, three 20 point games maybe throughout the course of the season, and you don't have to guess him in best ball. But in a seasonal league, I'm fine if you drop him, because he also doesn't have like contingent value like a Tony Pollard does if Zeke gets hurt, or Alexander Madison does, because he's not going to be like a full three down back if Jonathan Taylor ever, you know, knock on wood, got hurt.
Right. That is the real problem here. He's not like a 25 touch a game guy. Like that just would not happen over any protracted period of time. It might have to accidentally happen in any given game, but it would not be the plan for the Colts if anything were to happen to Jonathan Taylor. It's too bad about Landry, because I think Landry's a good player. I don't know that I'm fairly certain that the Saints are not exactly going to be able to keep three receivers, as no doubt fantasy starters over the balance of the season. And then an injured version of Jarvis Landry, and he did get dinged in week three, is not somebody that you need to roll out there, and not somebody that you need to keep on a roster. So like if Romeo Dobbs is available to you and Jarvis Landry is on your bench, that's an easy swap for me.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, some hold on Lucy candidates, Andy. All that trash we talked about Russell Wilson, or maybe it was just me to start the show. He is your hold on loosely guy this week.
Yeah, I guess I'd still roll with it. I'm not in this situation. I have a lot of fantasy problems this year, but Russell Wilson is not necessarily one of those fantasy problems. But I don't know that I think of him as fundamentally different. You know, I was mentioning earlier that if he's not going to run proactively, that he's the best case scenario for him is kind of Derek Carr, right? Like if you're really going to give me 6, 7, 8 rushing yards per game, you've got to be great as a passer. Like you've got to be 2-3 touchdowns, 285 yards. And we haven't seen it yet. He hasn't done it. He's not totally passing the eye test. There might be something here in terms of, you know, we always talk about the NFL as a continuity league, and Denver, you know, to your point, Denver was one of those teams that did not have continuity. Like however excited you were about the Denver Broncos, it wasn't because they had continuity. They have a new coaching staff. They have a new playbook. They got a new quarterback. Like all the important stuff is new. And sometimes that takes a while, and maybe Russell will turn it around. But again, if Russell Wilson is not looking to run, and I think you have a pretty interesting theory on that too, right? Like the idea that he doesn't necessarily want to be known as a guy whose value was tied to his rushing ability or anything like that. He wants to be, you know, a sort of winning pure pocket passer. And he's been a great passer throughout his career. This is not peak Russell Wilson right now. And no. If he's not proactively running, he's just not that helpful in fantasy.
He's the QB24 right now is Russell Wilson. Would you like to venture a guess who the QB23 is, Andy?
Oh, no. Is it Gino?
It's Mitch.
Oh, God. That's terrible.
Hey, in fairness to Russ, Aaron Rodgers is 25. So, I mean, yeah, that's the kind of company that he's keeping, which is like the pocket passers with, you know, razor thin margin for errors at this point.
Yeah.
And he's got two passing touchdowns as Russell Wilson. So yeah, it's not exactly juicy here at this point with Russ. My hold on Lucy candidates are the Dolphins running backs and Jahan Dotson. It's Jahan Dotson. Like he's going to have those clunker games. Like, cause Wentz is a clunker quarterback. And he also probably has like the least fantasy friendly role right now. Cause they're just feeding the hell out of Curtis Samuel the ball in like the short to intermediate range. We're to the point that like I love Curtis Samuel, but like come on, you don't need to be having his 3 yard A dot be the focus of your passing game. Like if you're gonna target Curtis Samuel, maybe let it be 6 to 7 yards or something like that. But I'd still hold on to Dotson because
if Matt Harmon is like, whoa, this is maybe too much cool Curtis Samuel, then it is definitely too much Curtis Samuel.
It's not even just that it's too much Curtis Samuel. It's too much of like 3 yards down the field, Curtis Samuel. So, like, I love the wrinkles that they've got Curtis doing right now, and he's going to keep getting them. But, I mean, come on, man. Like, you got to do a little more than that. But whatever. Anyways, I think Jahan Dotson still is worth hanging on to. He'll have his moments. Like, I'd rather have a Jahan Dotson than like a Treylon Burks, even though Treylon Burks like gets so much pop in the fantasy world right now. And the Dolphins running backs, I do think are are still worth holding on to. I know, I get it. It's a rough committee, but like in the off chance that Edmonds gets hurt or Mostert gets hurt, like their run game will get better through the course of the year. It is just going to be tough. You can't pick between these two guys on a weekly basis, and it doesn't look like there's any sort of pattern there.
I mean, I can already tell I'm going to get this backfield wrong every week. I got it spectacularly wrong in week 3. I feel like I'm going to overadjust and get it spectacularly wrong in week 4 as well. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, what a treat. I mean, Chase Edmonds gets the 2 goal line carries, which is like he never gotten goal line carries in his entire life. All right, Andy, our favorite segment here to end the show. The Treviso Babes League is on fire. Mom's about to be 3-0 this week, so things are going well for her. But of course, we know why this is on the waiver show. If you didn't listen to last week's podcast, my mom's fantasy league's first year she's been playing fantasy. She's a commissioner of this league, which has been a nightmare for me personally. People just get dropped left and right. I mean, George Kittle's on his 3rd team this year, by the way. what a treat. So these folks just drop players left and right. It's insane. It's a good reminder that most fantasy leagues are never as cute and cookie cutter as our little bubble likes to say they are. There's some wild stuff going on out there. So remember to check your waiver wires. But Andy, can you guess the player who hit my mom's who was dropped in my mom's league over the weekend, or I think it was actually late last week. He was added to my mom's team and caused quite a bit of a controversy, actually, on Saturday. Massive name wide receiver. Any guesses on who was dropped?
Like, massive name?
Massive name.
Devontae?
No. I'll give you one more guess. You'll kick yourself if you don't get it.
I was hoping there was going to be like a Devontae for Matt Collins sort of ad that went on in your league.
Hey, maybe this week. You never know.
Is it AJ Brown?
No, it was Mike Evans.
Sure.
Yeah, because of course he was suspended. He's not going to play. So he hits the waiver wire.
You can't have character issues on your fantasy team. Anyone suspended, that's got to send a message.
Yeah, so they sent a message to Mike Evans. He was cut. My mom picked him up because I've told her how to use the waiver wire. Or really, I told her, like, here's where you need to read and set your waiver wire settings as a commissioner. And that's about all I did. So she picks up Mike Evans after he gets cut during the initial waiver period. So she claimed him on Saturday. And mom's, like I said, Jen lost yet, so... But she didn't make any claims in the prior waiver period, so she went to the top of the list because everybody else has to add the latest dust balls of last week. and it caused quite a controversy to the point that somebody actually asked my mom, is Matt helping you claim these players? And I'm like, dude, I just do the podcast, okay? I wouldn't even know where to begin to go into the Treviso Babes League on the back end and screw with the waiver wire order to help my mother beat you people in fantasy football. So that's what's going on in the Treviso Babes League.
Right, I love now. The idea that these ladies who are probably such good friends and they meet for drinks and they meet for coffee and maybe they play cards together, whatever, that like friendships may end over your mom's dominance of the waiver wire.
Yes, and especially because I happen to work for the company. My mom's like, he doesn't work on the game. I was like, I don't even know who to ask. I mean, I know a lot of our product folks, and they're wonderful folks. I wouldn't know whether it's Joe Nazzaro or Depeche, I wouldn't know who to go to be like, hey, can you do me a quick favor? can you do me a solid and just, I really got to stretch this out and help my mom cheat in fantasy football because she's really got to show these ladies who's the boss. Like, I wouldn't even know what to ask. So we'll have to check in next week to see which superstar gets dropped. I mean, Justin Jefferson, he hadn't done anything for 2 weeks. He's probably he's on somebody's list. So we'll see what DJ Moore, DJ Moore is getting kicked to the curb hard in the Treviso Babes League this week. So hope you people enjoy a reminder that not only will fantasy football, as Andy mentioned, destroys all of your good, you know, tight personal connections, but there's some weird stuff that goes on in a majority of these leagues. So remember that as you ever criticize Andy for giving you waiver advice. Like, some of these people out here are wild, wild.
Oh gosh. I look forward to the folks who tell me that Khalil Herbert has never not been rostered in their league. I'm sure they're coming.
Never in my league, baby. All right. That is going to do it for us. You can follow Andy on Twitter at Andy Behrens. You can follow me on Twitter at Matt Harmon_BYB. We got to get a Izzy Twitter account soon so she can let you all know the Bears are 2-1, baby. And it doesn't matter how many times Justin Fields drops back to pass. While you're waiting for the Izzy Twitter account to hit, you can follow at Yahoo Fantasy for jokes and fun throughout the course of every NFL game. If you like the show, make sure to leave us a 5-star review on whichever podcast platform you're listening on. If you don't like the show, I'm not for everybody. Not everybody's for everybody. Andy's not for everybody. Izzy should be for everybody. So remember, you can just tell me that personally at Matt Harmon_BYB, and we can agree, disagree, and move on from there. Chargers running back Austin Eckler will be back for a jammed-packed episode of Eckler's Edge tomorrow. Until then, we're out.